to do a roll call first.
Yeah, probably should do that. Thank you, Rocco. Vice President Ting, could you do a roll call, please?
All right, Patrick Cool.
Present.
Isotope Barry. Suraj Parikh.
Here.
Rocco DiLorenzo.
Here.
Raul Verma. Marwa Bakri. Omid Moini.
Excused.
Karis Everett. Amy Wang.
Here.
Niles Height. Adam Vinson.
Here.
Lucia Balestrieri.
Here.
Benjamin Tarhar. Casey Platkin.
Here.
Noon Sun.
Present.
Ezigo Anonye.
Here.
Jamal Wallen.
Here.
Shelby Williams.
Present.
David Nachman. Alison Bongura.
Here.
I believe that puts us at 12.
Perfect. I believe that's quorum.
And Ben Turhar just pulled up.
Awesome. That makes it 13.
Out of 17, I think, total.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Is that 2/3, Rocco? I think so. All right. With that, we will continue on to our land acknowledgement. Again, for those of you who just joined us, thank you for being here. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I know it's Sunday evening. So, yeah, I appreciate you all being here. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagahono Nation. The Gayagahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of 6 sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagahono people and past and present to these lands and waters. With that, we will move on to late additions to the agenda. Any late additions to the agenda? Beautiful. After that, we've got the consent agenda for the May 18th meeting minutes. Those are in the box under today's meeting. If you can take a couple minutes to read those over, that would be appreciated, and we can pass those.
I motion to approve the May 18th meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
Dissents.
State your dissent.
I believe the wrong form of seated is used throughout the minutes. It's spelled like this, like plant, S-E-E-D. Should be seated, C-E-D-E-D. So I motion to amend that.
Second.
By unanimous consent?
Yes.
That is in order. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing none, that passes unanimously. Okay, I'm going to, since we don't have an archivist, or actually, Jack, do you mind playing the role of taking notes on the stuff that we need to amend before they're passed?
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Any other motions on the floor for the May 18th meeting minutes?
I motion to approve the newly amended May 18th meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
I second.
That's an order. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, that passes unanimously. The May 18th meeting minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Okay. Back up the agenda here. All right. Announcements and reports section. We will go through, and I'm going to turn this over to VP Ting for her committee reports.
Awesome. All right. So just give me one second to find the exact lines in the bylaws, I believe. But hey, everyone, let me get my camera on. Thanks for being here. So one of the list items on our agenda is like in the process, we're all in the process of chairing or figuring out the chairs for upcoming committees, as well as figuring out legislative goals, agendas for each respective committee. For those of you who missed it earlier, I requested everyone in the call right now to just PM me the committee that they applied for when they first decided to run as a candidate. Over the next coming weeks, anticipate meeting with the committees that your position may be required to be a part of. So, for example, the DEI committee, that would be the Women's Issues Liaison, the LGBTQ Liaison, First Generation, and Minority Students, I believe, are all required to be members of that DEI committee. Same with operational committees. Be in touch with the chairs of those and be sure to read the bylaws to make sure if you are required to be a part of any of those committees. Other than that, I would encourage you all to take a look at the bylaws as well as the University Assembly website to see the options of other committees that you can be a part of. During the beginning of the term, so that'll be in the fall, we will be staffing some of these student assembly liaisons to external faculty and UA assemblies. For example, last year I was the ILR rep and I served on the UA's Campus Welfare Committee. So just be sure to take a look at that. Other than that, feel free to PM me if you have any questions. Most of the work like that we do on the assembly happens with the committees first, so it's really, really important. But feel free to email me, text me, Slack me if you have any questions at all. Would love to fill everyone in. Other than that, Rocco, do you want to take it away with the APSCOM or budget report?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Claire, for going through all the committee stuff. So, as a precursor to going over this year's budget, I wanted to take a moment right now to highlight what was budgeted last year versus what was actually spent. And you can see that in during almost, nearly all of these categories, we actually didn't spend nearly any of the money that was allocated. Some committees didn't spend a single dollar. And so you can see that, although our budget was allocated for around $28,000 over here, we only spent 9.5K of that. So I took the time to begin making the new budget for this year. And I presented this last year to the executive committee. So you could see the budget of what was allocated last year and then the budget of what we discussed before at our last executive meeting, and then the percent change associated with that. After talking through some of the categories, especially over here, and maybe what we can increase and decrease to change, I went through and I made the new budget. And so this is really what I advise everyone just take a look at, see if you're cool with it. But the new I should say originally this number over here for IOPS was around the same, but because of the new initiative that we're trying to put forward, to have meals before the meeting as like an informal way, this is where that extra money is going to go. So as you can see, that one has like a massive increase from 250 to 7,000, but that's what that discrepancy is. Going through the list right now, you could see what the new budget is compared to what it was last year. And a lot of these are slashed, with the exception of the committees last year that overspent. They received an increase to account for their spending pattern. Going through the list, one highlight I want to make is that because of the money that we're saving with some committees and then the reallocation of some of the money, we're actually able to increase our special projects allocation this year by $4,000 to $19,000, which will help some of those campus organizations who are struggling with their lower budgets from the allocation and SAFC accomplish what they want to do throughout the year. But I guess with that, does anyone have any questions or comments on the budget? This is really the thing right over here that would be like our new budget. So, yes, Clyde.
Yeah, this looks great. Thanks for spending the time putting this together. Are we allowed to change this mid-year if we want to? Like do another allocation, like let's say someone needs like another $50 or something.
I believe under the standing rules that we were writing up earlier with the allocation of funds, mm-hmm. under one of the spending guidelines, under Rule 13 Spending Guidelines, Section A, Subsection C, it says any reallocation of funds between categories of the budget or spending of the budget surplus must be confirmed by a majority vote of APSCOM, followed by a majority vote of the Student Assembly. So yes, it is amendable.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. Any more questions or comments on this?
Yeah, Rocco, could you talk about the allocation for possible food spending for this upcoming semester?
Yep. So I touched on it a little bit before, but we're looking at this year creating a new pre-meeting where people can just engage, have food before the meeting starts, just to make things run over smoother and make sure people are having a good time being members of the student assembly. So basically, if we were to cater every single meeting, and we only got the cheapest option, which would be like Wegmans sub trays and like chips and stuff like that, it would be about $3,500 for the entire year of all those meetings. But if we were to, you know, say like get more of a premium option per meeting throughout all the meetings, it would be around like $12,000 throughout the entire year. So just to strike a healthy balance, we picked 7,000, which is sort of like right in the middle in terms of what we can spend it on. So it's primarily going to be like Wegman subs and chips and stuff, but then, you know, some other good food served some weeks. So like think of like, you know, local catering, like Taste of Thai, might do like McDonald's one week, something like that. But it's mainly just so people have a good time. You get food in your stomach before the meeting starts. And you get to just interact with people and see how their week's going. Cool. Anything else? Nope. Okay. So the budget needs to be approved in the form of a resolution by the second meeting of the year. So I'll probably put some resolution together and we can probably even pass it right now before the year even starts. But yeah, that'll be for this upcoming year.
Thank you, VP De Lorenzo. Are there any other committee reports that we want to go into today, VP Ting?
Seeing as, actually, we do have our VP of External Operations, VP Parikh, do you have a report ready?
No, I don't have anything right now.
Okay, no stress. We can connect offline about some initiatives about the bulletin boards, and we can address that next meeting. And seeing as though we do not have our VP DEI, that would conclude any committee reports.
I believe we do have our VP DEI, I believe.
Beautiful.
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm in like a little noisy environment right now, but I just like a short like update. Like I reached out to like the Python Center and those like responsible for orientation in terms of discussing like kind of revamping the orientation system to kind of just like, you know, make students more engaged with like different topics such as like consent, sexual like Title IX, things like that on campus, as well as like actually voting into like a DEI program that makes people more culturally competent and aware of kind of like systemic issues that we face on this campus. I haven't really heard back from them, but I will follow up. So that's just kind of like a small update for me right now.
Thank you so much, VP Barry. We'll definitely connect offline as well. Would love to get some specifics on the TATCON Center OL training. I know that was a little bit of a challenge based on communications from their end, but thank you so much for your work. Can't wait to see better Title IX and DEI training for freshmen and transfers this upcoming semester.
All right, with that, I don't think there's any more committee reports. I'll extend the invitation to Shelby Williams, who is online, also the chair of the University Assembly. I don't know if you have anything to report, but if you do, feel free to use this time right now.
Hi, sorry, I'm not on camera. I'm in the middle of something right now. I don't have any updates at the moment, but I just want to welcome everyone to join any UA committees if you're interested. I can maybe send like a more in-depth email about like what UA does, some of the obligations and everything. But yeah, I would be really excited to have you guys.
Lovely. VP DeLorenzo.
Yep. Totally forgot to bump this before. And it's sort of unrelated, but currently the Student Campus Life Office is in desperate need of orientation leaders. So if you're interested in becoming one and you'll be in Ithaca on August 12th, I encourage you to become an orientation leader. So I just sent the link to apply, and they're still taking applications because they're down by like 100 people. So yeah.
Representative Wong.
Hello. Yeah, I had a question about committees. I know when I applied to a certain committee, because all I saw was the student assembly committees. But as a UA rep, would I be chair or be part of a UA committee, or would I be unable to be a chair of the student assembly committees?
Parliamentarian Nicholas, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's nothing restricting you from serving as a chair or a member. However, because you are also on the UA, you are exempt from this. So UA reps, so the three classifications to meet this is either being on a student assembly committee, a university assembly committee, or the university assembly itself. So you're welcome to sign up if you'd like to, and there's nothing restricting you.
Okay, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, guys. Okay. If there's nothing further, any further points on that? Announcements, reports? Oh,
one more thing. And I wanted to extend this outwards, the assembly at large. Currently for committee chairs, the office of the EVP is accepting any letters of intent for those who intend to chair any committees. So far, I've received two, one for the Student Health Advisory Committee, or SHAC, and another one for, I believe it was the Dining Committee. The letter of intent is relatively simple, just one page about your goals for the committee for this upcoming year, as well as any qualifications. They can be academic, from your personal life, things that you've done in your career. Doesn't have to be anything very specific. I'm not asking for a resume. So it's very, very low stakes, but feel free to send that to my email, which is ct499@cornell.edu, and I can pop that in the chat.
Executive Archivist Kalinske.
Seconding what VP Ting just said, if you have any questions about the individual committees themselves, the people who chaired them last year are available on the Student Assembly's website. Feel free to send them an email and stuff like that. But yeah.
Thank you, everyone. All right. With that, we'll move on to presentations or initiatives. We don't have any initiatives. So with that, we will move on to presentations and forums. We have no presentations and forums. And with that, we will finally get into our business of the day. We will start with the appointment of parliamentarian and executive archivist. And again, just to introduce the two people who are here right now that I intend to appoint, Mr. Kalinske was a representative last year, also the chair of the environmental committee. And Mr. Magard is a wonderful parliamentarian who did a lot of work with us last year as well. It is within my power to appoint those people and then have them confirmed by the student assembly. I intend to appoint Mr. Kalinske to the executive archivist position and Mr. Magard to the parliamentarian position. I think that we need a motion to confirm.
A motion to confirm the appointments that you just mentioned by unanimous consent.
I second that.
Lovely. That is an order. Is there any dissent to that motion? Lovely. Okay. Congratulations, Executive Archivist Kalinske, and Parliamentarian Magard. Okay, beautiful. With that, we'll move on to adopting the standing rules for the 2023-2024 academic year. This is in box. It's a longish document. It's about 1500 words. I'll give you a couple of minutes to look through it. Sorry that you don't have access to, haven't had access to it earlier. It is considerably shorter than it was last year. We took out a lot of stuff. We've been working on it pretty hard for the last week to make sure everything's in order. Take a look through that. Give you a couple minutes and then we can hopefully vote on that. And while you look through that, I'll just give a quick rundown. Actually, Nicholas, would you like to give a rundown of what the standing rules are for those who are new as a new parliamentarian?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we have several different governing documents that we use for the student assembly: the charter, the bylaws, the special rules of order, and the standing rules are the main four. As part of this resolution, we will actually be removing our special rules of order because it's very short and a lot of it, you know, is in other places within our governing documents. So that will leave three: the charter, the bylaws, and the standing rules. These standing rules pretty much govern how we do everything internally. So it helps guide our meetings, it will help with vacancies, and it's generally just there so that, you know, for future assemblies, you know, they know how the student assembly will run, they know what's expected, and it just is there to help keep everything on track.
Lovely. Thank you for that. The chair would smile favorably on a motion to open this for discussion.
I motion to open up this for discussion by unanimous consent.
Second.
All right. That is an order. Any dissent? Beautiful. All right. We're now in discussion on this current draft of the standing rules. Any comments on that? Clyde, are you raising your hand?
I was raising my hand, yeah. I just want to say, I think there's a great set of rules. We cut them back. The old rules were long and bad and hard to understand. They were more than 4,900 words, 4,700 words, and now we cut them back to 1,900. So hopefully they're sort of super streamlined and deal with the current issues we have in this assembly and our operating procedures. They deal with everything from committee appointments to the order of business for meetings and how things get on the agenda. And so I just want to thank Claire, Patrick, Nicholas for spending a lot of time this weekend pulling them together and wordsmithing them so they work for the assembly this year.
Lovely, thank you. Any other points or motions on the floor? Seeing none, the chair would smile favorably on a motion to close debate and vote on the standing rules.
I ask unanimous consent that the previous question be ordered and that the motion as printed be adopted, or the resolution as printed be adopted.
All right. That is an order. Is that by unanimous consent?
Yes.
All right.
Second. I second the motion.
Beautiful. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, those standing rules pass with unanimously. And thank you, VP Ting.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get a clarification for the assembly at large about when it is we're able to revise these, or if, say, the assembly decides to read this at a later time, if it's possible to amend this at a later time.
Yeah. Parliamentarian Magard, would you like to answer that?
Yep. So this is super simple. We don't have to go through a whole process like we do with the charter and bylaws. It is a simple majority vote that we can take at any time throughout the year to amend.
Awesome. And I guess in terms of governing document precedent, where does the standing rules remain?
Pretty much last. It supersedes only Robert's rules is below this, and then standing rules, and then everything else is above. So that would be the charter, the bylaws, special rules of order, election rules, and the code of ethics. All in the event of any sort of conflict, all of those would override the standing rules.
Awesome. Sounds good. And I just want to take this time to extend just an invite to any members of the assembly entering their first term. I know the charter, the bylaws, and other governing documents can be very overwhelming to look at. If there's any portions that don't make a whole lot of sense or just seems very word salad-y that you'd need some clarification on, again, my email is in the chat. Feel free to message me, PM me on Slack, iMessage. I'm here to be a resource for you all.
In addition to that, our parliamentarian, Nicholas McGard, who was appointed today, is very, very, very knowledgeable about all of these documents. So feel free to reach out to him as well. Okay, beautiful. Okay, so I believe there was a motion on the floor. Those were points of order or points of information. Current motion on the floor is to pass the standing rules as they stand by unanimous consent. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Lovely. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, that passes. Congratulations, we passed standing rules for the upcoming academic year. Lovely. Okay, on to the next order of business, appointing interim representatives. So the standing rules that just got passed, as well as old sets of standing rules, allow me as the president to appoint interim officers or interim representatives for the seats that are unfilled and cannot be filled by a traditional means. So these are not all of the appointments that will happen, but we will be starting off today with some appointments, just like we did for the parliamentarian and executive archivist. I will be today appointing the hotel school representative, one undergraduate representative at large, as well as an art school representative. I did a lot of vetting for this entire process. I reached out to all the dean's advisory councils and solicited some really great candidates. So I'm really excited about having them here. Thank you, Lizzie, for being here. And thank you, Clyde, for being here. The three appointees will be Clyde for undergraduate representative at large, Lizzie Barrett for hotel school representative, and Andrew Talone for the art school representative. Again, these are not exhaustive. There will be other people who are being appointed. I know Isto has some thoughts on people who should be appointed, and I'm super excited to get them in here too, but wanted to start to get the ball rolling with getting people appointed. So those are the three we have for today. All lovely people. I've talked to them in depth about their involvement with the campus. And those people will have to run again in the fall, but we'll be able to participate in building our assembly over the summer. And also hopefully we'll be involved in future semesters to come. So any points or motions on the floor?
Motion to swear in the three newly appointed interim representatives.
I believe that we have to approve those appointments first. Motion to approve.
So I withdraw that motion, and I motion to approve the three interim representative appointments.
Lovely. That motion is in order. Is there a second?
I second.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Is that by unanimous consent, VP Ting?
Yes.
All right. Is there any dissent to that motion? Lovely. Congratulations, Clyde Letterman and Lizzie Barrett. And our congratulations goes out to Andrew Talone. We can now appoint you to, since you are here, congratulations again. I'm just going to pull up the swearing in. Parliamentary McGard, do you know where the oath of office is in the governing documents?
It's rule four, I think.
Yes.
It's under the standing rules.
Rule five of the standing rules.
Lovely. Thank you. Rule five of the standing rules. Okay. Representative Barrett and Representative Letterman, if you could both raise your right hand and with your mic muted, repeat after me as to not cause too much Zoom feedback, that'd be great. Thank you. In the view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, beautiful, I do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body, address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations to our two new representatives. Alrighty. With that, we will move on to, so we do have two new voting members now. They can be counted for our quorum and voting total. Okay. With that, we will move on to resolution 4, amending the student assembly charter. And with that, I will turn the floor over to VP De Lorenzo.
Cool. All right, showtime. So basically, in this 23-page governing document, which is the charter, this is the latest approved one from President Pollack. We made edits in like one final resolution that passed, but she hasn't still gone back. So this is the current form. Basically, when it comes to like appropriations funding, a problem that we've seen in the past is that there is overlap between the two applications that are required for byline organizations. This would be the preliminary app, which is already supposed to be out, but it's not. And then the final application, which is then due later on, right before the appropriations committee starts meeting. So after, you know, I was trying to get a jump on things before the summer started. And so I made like a campus groups like form for it. And the campus activities office reached out. Essentially, because of the way that it's set up, this resolution goes through and it amends the charter, but more specifically that policy and procedure section of the policy and procedure section of the byline funding to basically make it so that there's only one singular form that organizations need to fill out. So I guess, you know, going over the reasons why, so it says, whereas the current student activity fee procedures dictate a preliminary application, final application that orgs must complete to be funded. Whereas in the past, multiple applications have confused applicants, add to the complexity of the already complex student activity fee allocation process and contain elements that are redundant within both applications. Whereas according to the current student activity fee or activity allocation procedure, all bylines must complete the eligibility checklist for the preliminary application that includes being fully registered in good standing and full compliance with campus activities. Whereas this re-registration process through campus activities will not be available for byline orgs to complete before late July or early August of this year. So I guess in that sense, right, the preliminary application, even if it was already put out there, organizations couldn't complete it yet until campus activities does their thing. So whereas the current preliminary application creates excess summer work for byline officers, advisors with applications that don't provide useful info for the setting year. And then lastly, basically, whereas by eliminating the preliminary application from the student activity fee allocation procedures and moving to a single final application that contains the same info collected as the previous preliminary and final applications, this will allow campus activities to organization re-registration to open before the application is due, or this final application is due. allow Byline officers and advisors to focus on development and structure over the summer leading up to the academic year, rather than trying to balance reporting and things like that. And then lastly, it'll foster more collaborative and engagement relationship between Byline orgs and student assembly, rather than a process heavy transactional relationship. So then within this resolution, it basically strikes that entire section and then offers this to be finally resolved, which are the edits to be put into where that part was struck within the charter. So essentially, if you go back to our current charter, I literally just copied and pasted everything that was in there and then rearranged where the redundancy between those applications lie. And so then I edited that in there to create one final application with all this info that's supposed to be required down here too. And then I also moved around some of the dates, but because of the timing of when the former preliminary and then final applications were due, and then the meeting you're supposed to have before that, I basically just edited that part as well. And so this off year, I put this part in here about reporting, but you're supposed to report anyway in the off year. We just never did it. Here's the pre-appropriations meeting, which happens every single year or every single on year for the byline. The eligibility piece that was copied and pasted. And then the appropriations process, which just remains the same from what it was before. And then the So in essence, it was a lot of just digging through the charter, moving things around, talking with campus activities. But this resolution would not just benefit campus activities in terms of organizing, it would help us create a better relationship because there's a lot of data and reporting that these bylines need to do. And then I guess lastly, it'll just help like clarify that there's just one singular application. There's not like multiple applications. So I guess the way this works now, before I like take questions on this, is that because this is a charter amendment, it actually needs to be presented at one student assembly meeting and then voted on at the next student assembly meeting and approved by 2/3 of the current student assembly. And no amendments to Appendix A of the charter can happen during the first day, or like once the first day of fall semester happens in an off year or in an odd year, whatever this year is, right, for byline funding. So essentially the way that they've done it before is when they need to amend the charter and they have like a time set for it, what they'll do is they'll present it in one part of the meeting and then break for like a minute, 2 minutes, and then re-adjourn, and then it becomes like a second meeting and then it can be voted on. But I guess with that, now that I explained everything, I guess I'll take questions now if people have any.
I'll just start by saying that I think that I've heard a lot about Rocco's efforts in making this happen, and he has spent a significant amount of time figuring all this stuff out and streamlining the process for our organizations on our campus and making their lives easier. So thank you for your work, sir.
I do have a question. If in the future we want to, I'm just looking at the number of like petition signatures that they have to get. 1500 just seems like a lot. I don't know if that's just like a personal opinion, but would we be able to change that in the future, or is this something that's like not able to be changed?
So based on the current information within the charter, and I'll try to pull it up right now just so everyone can see it, because I know there's a lot of documents flying around, but basically under Section 11 amendments, Appendix A can be amended by 2/3 vote of the student assembly in order to ensure consistency and fairness to the applicants and student body at large. No amendments to this appendix may be adopted during the fall semester of a fee setting year. So we can amend this section so long as it's not during the fall semester of an odd year. I guess to backtrack on the point about the 1500 signatures, because I know that does seem like a decent amount. Based off of the amendments that we made, like on like May 1st or whatever, it was like the last student assembly meeting. Essentially, there right now we have like 30 bylines, but like 8 or 9 of them want to combine to form a programming council. But to do that, they're going to have to apply to be another byline. As of right now, in campus groups, that petition has like almost 4,000 signatures. So the 1,500 number really isn't that much. But I guess in addition to that, right, is that they need to be able to get 1,500 signatures and then like clear and then like hit all of these things. So, you know, having a Cornell advisor that's part of it, being pre-registered with campus activities and in good standing, have been previously funded by SAFC, the Student Assembly or University Department, be the top tier of their current funding board, and then if they're a new applicant, get the 1,500 signatures. And I guess, you know, bigger picture, like why those barriers are there, it's really to just prevent many, many bylines from just popping up out of nowhere, right? I mean, right now we have 30 and a lot of those allocations are like below $3 to $4. So it's kind of a scenario where it's like, you know, they might be better served under SAFC or things like that. But yeah, I hope that helped answer the question.
Representative Ting. Vice President Ting, excuse me.
Thank you. So this seems like a pretty substantial change, especially in making the application process more efficient. I entirely agree with the process of condensing things, removing the redundant. My question is this going to be made, I guess, publicly announced to various orgs? Like, how are we going to ensure that funded organizations are aware of this update?
Right. So I guess in years past, right, the preliminary application would have already been published. So the fact that it's not published yet might have caused some confusion. No one has personally reached out to me via campus groups or anything like that with a student assembly finance email. So maybe some aren't really picking up on that. But I guess that does go into the bigger picture of like, this is summer work that we're making those orgs do in terms of reporting, and a lot of the information is essentially redundant to the final application. What I was waiting for essentially is for us to vote on this, and then I would make the announcements of the orgs just so there were no other sub amendments going on and changes that I would have to relay as well. So just do it all in one messaging.
Okay. So I guess on that friendly amendment, let me know your thoughts. In line 206, I motion to amend a be it therefore resolved that the Student Assembly Vice President of Finance disseminate this information to leaders of campus groups so that this information is made publicly accessible. And, you know, we can play with phrasing however you'd like, but just so that we have the action item on the resolution itself.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone wants to make the motion. I know you said under there like campus orgs, but I think I would make the clarification like currently funded byline organizations, just so it's not like I'm messaging like, you know, 1,000 different groups when they're not funded by the Student Assembly and they go through SFOC.
Even better. All right. So with that modification, I'll withdraw that previous motion and motion again on line 206 to add, be it therefore resolved that the Student Assembly Vice President of Finance disseminate this information to byline currently funded byline organizations so that this update information is made publicly available. And that's a motion by unanimous consent.
That is an order. Is there a second? Seeing no seconds, that motion is no longer in order.
VP DeLorenzo, is there like, did you want to add anything else to that?
Oh, no, I thought I couldn't like second it if it was like my resolution. Could I second it?
I think you can second it.
Okay, well, I second that motion before, so.
Beautiful, okay, sounds good. That is in order. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing no dissent, that passes and that amendment is added.
Cool. Jack, do you have that written down?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Sweet. So not sure what we want to do now, but I think, you know, I presented this, had time for questions, answered them, made amendments. So if we want to, or I guess I'll leave it up to Patrick, but if we take a break for like a minute and then all re-adjourn, then it counts as like a second meeting and then we can actually vote on it.
We still are in discussion of this resolution. If anybody would like to comment on that idea about how they feel about it, feel free to do so now. Otherwise, we would need a motion to close debate before we move forward.
We don't need that motion because we're not in a motion to adopt the resolution, since we haven't, you know, we're still in the presentation portion.
Gotcha. Cool. Do we then from presentation move directly into discussion? Isn't that how that works? So then we'd have to close discussion and then move on.
Do you want, are we moving forward then with the closing this meeting and starting a new meeting?
I would smile favorably upon that. If there's no qualms with that plan.
You want me to make that motion?
Sure.
Okay, and just one note, when we go into the new meeting, we'll just have to suspend the rules and cut through the agenda to unfinished stuff, right? So we don't have to go through all the business we already went through. But I move that the assembly stand adjourned until 9:22 p.m.
Oh.
9:22?
Sorry, 7:22.
That motion is in order. Any seconds?
Second.
All right. Is that by unanimous consent?
Yes.
All right. Any dissent to that? Okay. Seeing none, that passed. We are adjourned for the next 45 seconds. All right. That feels about 45 seconds. With that, I will call this meeting to order. The chair would smile favorably on a motion to suspend the rules.
I move that we suspend the rule. I ask unanimous consent that we suspend the rules and where were we in the agenda? And go to unfinished business of the day.
That is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Lovely. All right. That's by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we are moving to where we were before, resolution 4. And we can now vote on that as this is a new meeting. Are there any motions on the floor?
I ask unanimous consent that the previous question be ordered and that the resolution be adopted.
That is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Lovely. Is there any dissent to passing resolution 4 amending the Student Assembly Charter?
I have a point of order, actually.
Point of order.
And this one goes to Parliamentarian Lagarde. Is there, I think, when it comes to charter amendments, are we able to vote on it with unanimous consent, or do we have to get the votes counted?
And no, any vote can be taken by unanimous consent.
Thank you.
Lovely. So that was by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to passing resolution 4 amending the Student Assembly Charter? Seeing no dissent, that passes unanimously. Congratulations. We've amended the Student Assembly Charter. Nice job, Rocco. Okay, with that, we will move on to our last and final thing of the day. We do have 6 minutes left. We may need a motion to add time. If that motion is not made, we will address electing vacant offices at the next meeting, which will be next Sunday at the same time. Is there a motion on the floor to extend time?
I motion to extend time by 15 minutes by unanimous consent.
That is an order. Is there a second?
I second.
Lovely. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we now will adjourn at 7:45, hopefully before that. We will move into electing officers. The two officer positions that are currently open are Vice President of Internal Operations and Member of the University Assembly. Vice President Ting.
So when it comes to filling these vacant positions, I do believe we have to enter executive session. So with that being said, I motion to enter executive session by unanimous consent.
Thank you for catching that. That motion is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Lovely. Any dissent?
Sorry, I dissent to that, and I'll withdraw my motion so that we can include Parliamentarian McGuard to keep any rules in check.
I believe Parliamentarian McGuard is included in the executive session, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. The Parliamentarian is an officer and a member, so still here.
Beautiful. So I won't withdraw then. And if Parliamentarian McGuard could real quick just explain what executive session is and who we need in it, as well as who is included in it, essentially.
Yeah, so the executive session is used to handle any item of business that requires a little bit more secrecy than a normal order of business. Obviously, we don't have our clerk here, so minutes are going to be somewhat up in the air as they are. But during an executive session, minutes are not taken. So what happens in executive session stays within this room. You are not supposed to talk about it outside of here. And it's restricted just to the members and officers of the student assembly.
And that goes, so it doesn't, it's not that big of a change right now when we're on Zoom and everyone here is a representative. But if we were in the school year and there was a lot of, you know, spectators or the press was there or anything, they would be asked to leave the room. So with that, this motion is in order. Is there any dissent to going into executive session? Seeing no dissent, we are now in executive session to elect vacant officers. Sure.